Do you think it's possible to manage Mexican immigration through a guest worker program?
No.
And why not?
The Bracero program was an attempt to manage farm laborers, okay? And like I said, they were brought across the border in El Paso, and they were taken to Fabens, and they were ID'd, and they were documented, and they were put in sheep dip, literally, you know, deloused, et cetera. They were under guard all the time. Then they were sent out. The Texas Rangers knew to watch these people. Also in New Mexico, same thing. And in Arizona, same thing. And Southern California, same thing. I'm just talking Texas because that's where I am, and that's where most of my documentation comes from. Vigilantes watched them. The white citizens councils kept an eye on them. Laws were passed about curfew laws where they couldn't be out at night and everything. So, but still, there were working men and women, mostly men with the Bracero program. They were allowed legally to bring their families, but most of them chose not to because you wouldn't want your family living like this anyhow. You know, we had apartheid in the South, in the Southwest for Mexicans that looked like apartheid for the blacks. It was just as bad, you know, separate but unequal facilities and everything. But yet these were working men, and working men all know that the key to survival is getting as much as you can for your labor. You know, if you're going to be a field hand, you're good for a couple of years before you're trashed out, and then you're going to be sent back to Mexico. But if you can get to a city and you can learn how to drive a truck and you can get a driver's license, or you can learn to be a mechanic, or you're a welder or a sandblaster, or you see what I'm saying?
But you don't think that it's a bureaucratic nightmare? Because that's the only criticism I've heard of the guest worker program, that you couldn't manage it because you can't manage the small guest worker programs we have now efficiently. That's the only criticism that I've heard of the guest worker program. You're saying that it's because there's inherent discrimination in it that's intolerable?
No, I'm saying that it doesn't work because the guest workers are going to get out of the program as soon as they can also and move on to something better as soon as they can. If they sign a contract to cut grass at your house, as soon as they can double their salary, which they can do easily if you're making $10 a day, they're going to do it. I mean, it's the nature of working people to get as much as they can for what they do. So they can enter the country as under one pretext. You know, but then, you know, this is why they say all the guest worker programs, they say, everybody says this, you know, don't kid yourself, all guest worker programs have turned out to be permanent. And that's actually true, because they get out of the system and then they get some resources and, you know, they don't end up going back. You got to look at it from the worker's side of the picture, okay? This means that I can be exploited until you're through with me and then you're going to send me back to poverty in this country I came from? Well, you know, people are going to find a way around that if they can.
What do you constitute as a just solution to this problem?
Well, it's happening in the European Union right now, and nobody seems to be paying any attention to it. The mainstream media don't want to deal with it either, and that's open borders. If the goods can pass through on free market theory, you know, and international borders don't matter for manufactured goods, you know, why should workers be stopped at the border? Why shouldn't workers be able to follow the jobs? The European Union has just taken down most of the last quotas and opened the borders to workers. If you actually go to a border town like Nuevo Laredo, which you don't want to go to the Mexican side because they're having so much trouble over there, or El Paso, if you go to Laredo, for example, there's four train tracks coming across. There's three bridges. Two of them are commercial traffic only. And you can see the lines of trucks and you can see the goods flowing through. It's a veritable river of goods. If you go to the pedestrian area, you see the people stopped standing, you know, 16 wide and 3 miles deep, being checked and ID'd, and now they have the thumb computer program and stuff, right? Open borders. It's working in Europe. In effect, we almost have open borders in the United States with this gatekeeper, you know, mentality that goes on at the border right now. I mean, that's what I would say, because personally, I'm a working class person, always have been, and I think that the people who do the work of society should have the right to be compensated for what they do. All my relatives were from Ireland. They were white servants from Ireland, indentured servants, and German political refugees. And they had the right to go back to Germany and Ireland if they wanted to, or become citizens in the United States. It's not that shocking an idea, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had a situation like that, people would pay their taxes, people would, you know, and they would also be entitled to protection from the government, or in the right to vote, or be a guest worker and return back if they wanted to. I can't see, with the globalization of the world and the European Union doing that, the only reason that the idea is being fought are the people who want to exploit labor on the basis of nationality, and I'm not going to side with those people under any circumstances.
But there's always also the fact that that would mean more social services that need to be provided to a larger immigrant community.
I mean, none of us are getting social services. I mean, they still have social services in Chicago? Have you seen the contraction of social services that's taken place in the past 20 years? If mm-hmm. you go back to the contract with America that was published by the Republican Party, they said, we're going to write a new contract with America, and it's going to be privatization, and you're going to get what you're entitled to buy, including education, and that's exactly what they pulled off. My concern is, in the United States, if we have a free and open America that tries to meet the needs of its citizens, we have one thing, and I think we're at a turning point right now. Or we can have a closed society that militarizes its borders with an increasingly rigid, enforced social structure inside the country. Which one do you want? And you have to put the immigration issue in that context. And you have to put the issue of undocumented immigrants, and especially from a labor point of view, into that formula and look at it and say, which way do you want to go?
In your piece, Stolen Birthright, you have an interesting sort of thesis that this Mexican immigration has basically taken on a life of its own, that for instance, like in 2050, even if nothing changes, Mexican Americans or Mexicans in the United States, their population will be the highest minority in the country. So what do you think that this means for the future of the country?
I'm not sure that anybody's policy or any clever law that anybody's can write is going to change this tide of history that's underway. I make a comment that some people have taken me to task force, and I say that in Stolen Birthright that every man, woman, and child who migrates from Mexico to the U.S. is reclaiming a small portion of the birthright that was stolen from their ancestors by military conquest. I actually say that. And I didn't write that sentence. That sentence wrote itself. I had no idea how I was going to finish that, following these trends that I was doing. And then I wrote it, and I looked at it and said, oh, my goodness, where'd that come from? And then after I went to the demonstrations on May 1st and April 10th and saw the people and with their families, I think that's what's happening. It's kind of called the reconquest, and it drives conservatives, into apoplectic fits down here. That the Mexicans are going to come back and take the territory that was originally stolen from them in 1848. I don't know. I mean, I don't believe in cosmic cycles of history or anything like that, but the trends are just absolutely overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. What are your predictions about what legislation will pass?
They are going to pass something unenforceable because I think it's token legislation. I think they're going to send the National Guard to the border. My biggest fear is if we have an economic meltdown in the United States, we're going to have scapegoating, and it's going to be at undocumented immigrants. And we've seen it before. I have a little bit of that history in that article that I wrote. And families were separated that never got back together again, and communities were devastated and everything. I think it could be worse this time because of the resolve. Are we going to have civil disturbances? Are we going to have military action inside the United States? Is America going to tolerate that? That's truly frightening. And quite honestly, if somebody came to my home to throw me out of my home and to put me on an airplane and fly me back to Guadalajara or take me to the border and dump me, and pull my kids out of school and everything, I don't think I'd go peacefully.
That was Richard Vogel, writer for the Monthly Review and author of Stolen Birthright, the U.S. Conquest and Exploitation of the Mexican People, found on the web at www.houstonculture.org. And you can find his newest article at mrzine.org.